Again, I'm reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. The preacher, or Solomon, writes, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." May God bless again the reading and the hearing of His Word. Well, tonight for our study, before we come to our prayer time, we're continuing our little brief series on biblical manhood and womanhood. This is the third talk that we've had on this topic. First of all, several Wednesday nights ago, we looked at the subject of biblical manhood and womanhood. And we noted how God made human beings in the beginning, male and female, both in His image, Genesis 1:27, how the fall came and that basic good relationship between man and woman was hurt by sin, and then how Christ has come to restore that relationship so that we would have a Genesis 1 and 2, a pre-fall ideal for what our relationship should be as men and women. And then in our second in the series, we looked at feminism, a history of feminism, and how that we are affected by the views of feminism. And we talked about how there are some good things about feminism, standing up against injustices, mistreatment of women, but also how there have been some negative things as it has tended to make men and women feel like competitors against one another. And it has also held up, I think, a false goal. And that is, it's telling us that we can have happiness based on our own self-fulfillment or accomplishments rather than having happiness, fulfillment in Christ, who is the true source of our happiness. Tonight we're going to look at something kind of completely different. And several of you told me when you saw the topic you had never heard of this term before. And that's probably a good thing. But tonight we're talking about a Christian response to MGTOW, M-G-T-O-W. And it's probably good if you've never heard that term before. I hate to raise it to your consciousness, but there is a movement out there that is called the MGTOW movement. And the M-G-T-O stands for Men Going Their Own Way. And these are men who have reacted, I think, in some ways against feminism to withdraw into basically selfishness. And so we want to address how would a Christian respond to young men in particular who are withdrawing, whether knowingly or unknowingly, into this type of stand. Again, the acronym MGTOW stands for Men Going Their Own Way. Let me give you a little bit of a definition of this movement. You may be completely unaware of it. It is a loose way of speaking about a small but emerging or growing group of men, primarily in Western countries, primarily the United States, Canada, and some Western European countries, men who are increasingly choosing to live their lives without women, and for some, with as little contact with anyone else, men or women, as possible. MGTOW can in some ways be described as part of the modern men's movement, a reaction against the rise of feminism which some believe has led to reactionary and unjust discrimination against men and against masculinity. The MGTOW movement largely exists as a cyber or a virtual community. Those who are part of this movement communicate with each other via social media in various forums which have been dubbed the Manosphere. The movement is by nature hard to define, and there are men who would identify with the movement at various levels. When we speak of those who are explicitly in the MGTOW movement, we are talking about men who are consciously aware of this movement and who are choosing to identify with it. These men are generally white, well-educated, either middle class or upper middle class professionals, usually with a lot of tech savvy. We might also include other men who might know nothing about the word MGTOW or that acronym, but men who are also responding to our current cultural environment in passive and reclusive ways. You remember in the first talk, I noted that that men and women have two sinful tendencies, one of activity and one of passivity. So for a man, that sin has hurt the right relationship, good our relationship between men and women, and some men respond by acting aggressively, and in the worst cases, these are men who are abusive verbally or physically toward women. And I noted that one of the other possible sinful reactions is passivity, and that is not being an involved husband or involved father and so forth. And you might say the MGTOW movement would be an extreme example of passivity and withdrawal. Many men involved in MGTOW claim to have suffered unjust treatment and even abuse at the hands of women. Some believe that women are only attracted to men for selfish reasons. That is, they are looking for a man to take care of their material needs and use sexual attraction to manipulate and control men. Some of these men feel rejected by women and admit to feeling socially awkward around women. Some claim that they have been falsely accused of crimes like stalking or date rape, or they are offended by the feminist rhetoric which holds that all men are potential rapists. Some report that they came into the movement after being saddled with unjust alimony payments or divorce settlements or child custodial agreements in courts, which now typically favor women over men. The response of the MGTOW is to intentionally live their lives apart from women. For some, it means also intentionally separating themselves from their families and from all social contact. There are people out there who are trying to live with the most minimal contact with other human beings that they possibly can, as they can possibly do it. And with technology, it's made it, you know, more and more possible for someone to get to live in an isolated way and really go days and weeks without having any meaningful contact with another human being. With regards to sexuality, these men are largely heterosexuals. Some choose to live in celibacy. Others seek to fulfill their desires through one-night stands, prostitution, or pornography. With regards to family and society, these men reject marriage or fathering children. Some even claim that coupling should be avoided due to the risk of having a daughter. Extreme MGTOWs severely demonize women and believe that they are inherently and irredeemably toxic for men. In some ways, one might say that the MGTOW movement is a return to the pre-Christian pagan view that saw men as superior to women and that believed that men could only experience meaningful friendships and intellectual engagement with other men. Many claim that they have joined the MGTOW movement due to frustration with rising misandry. That means discrimination against men in society. Men are blamed for making more money than women or for holding higher paying jobs. Women's health issues are promoted over those of men. Boys are chided for being active, playing, and acting like boys. They are given Ritalin and encouraged to act like girls. I've read a few MGTOW people who've said things like, more men are actually raped than women in the U.S. every year in prisons. But no one ever says much about advocacy about that. Men have a much higher suicide rate. 80% of suicides are men. Men work in jobs that have a higher risk to their health. Men don't live as long as women. And actually now we're at the point where there are many more women in colleges and universities than there are men. And so they looked at these trends and they're saying there's a misandry, discrimination against men that actually exists in our society, as opposed to the feminists who said there's a discrimination against women. One of the favorite metaphors of the MGTOW movement is the red pill. And they talk about when you come into the MGTOW movement, you take the red pill. This is an image that is taken from the cult film The Matrix, wherein the lead character is offered a red pill and a blue pill. If he takes the blue pill, then he continues to live in the false reality or in the matrix without any perception of what is really going on. If he takes the red pill, however, his eyes are opened and he awakens to the world as it really is. And so the people in MGTOW say, when you join this movement, you take the red pill. When a man awakens to the reality of discrimination against men and the slavery of living for others and decides to go his own way, he has taken the red pill, according to the MGTOW movement. Well, that's a little sketch of this movement, and I'm not sure if you've ever heard of it or not. We can talk about that. What do we say to this movement from a Christian perspective? And by the way, many of the people in this movement are very much against Christianity because they see Christianity as promoting the very things that they see are bad for men. First of all, we can say that we have sympathy for these men, even as we do for all persons who are apart from Christ. Many of these men have been hurt by sinful interactions with women. In many cases, there are things that they're responsible for. In many cases, there are things that other people have been responsible for that they've been mutually responsible for. So many have been hurt by their sinful interactions with women, with their family members, and with others. Many men have been unjustly treated by the legal system, by media, by schools, and by society. We remember just in recent months, you remember the account of the young woman at UVA who reported that she had been assaulted at a fraternity at UVA, and then Rolling Stone magazine came in, did an interview with the woman, did no fact-checking, and they ran a national story naming names, denouncing this fraternity. And you may know that once some investigation took place, they found out that the whole story had been concocted by this young woman. And now there are several lawsuits that are out there against Rolling Stone for running this material. And MGTOW people would say, well, that's just a prime example of how men are judged, you know, guilty without any chance to be proven innocent. So there have been men who have been discriminated against. I think one of the hardest things about feminism is simply the fact that women have boys. And when mothers have boys, they tend to become uniquely sympathetic to the particular needs of boys and men in our society. The rise of extreme feminism has sometimes resulted in the demonization of men and reverse discrimination against men. Many men have difficulty forming friendships. They are expected to communicate and behave like women. And by the way, when I just said many men have trouble having friends and communicating, I am absolutely not saying in an Oprah Winfrey-esque type way that men ought to get in touch with their feelings and sit around and talk. Men communicate the way men communicate, and they shouldn't be forced to communicate in a way that's adverse to the way that God has designed and made them, unless, of course, that's done in a sinful manner. But men are different from women. They communicate in different ways than women do. Many men have not been taught to act like responsible men. They have not had responsible role models in their lives. Part of that's the result of the sexual revolution and a high rate of divorce, and men not having responsible men in their lives to be around. And many men do not appreciate or understand their basic need for community. So, first of all, we should be sympathetic to anyone who's drawn to this type of viewpoint. But we should also kindly but prophetically point out some of the problems with the MGTOW position from a Christian and a biblical worldview. And I'm going to give you, six quick problems with the MGTOW movement. I'm sure you already probably thought of a few yourself. But first of all, it is a rejection of the biblical view of manhood and womanhood, and it fails to see women as the spiritual equals of men. Genesis 1:27 again. God made us male and female in his own image. We're both image bearers. So it fails to have a biblical view of the spiritual equality of men and women. Secondly, it lacks the understanding of sin, and particularly the understanding of sin as universal. Romans 3:23, one of the verses we often quote in evangelism, the Romans Road Plan of Salvation, where it says that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Women are not worse sinners than men. Men are not worse sinners than women. Men and women are sinners. Feminists sometimes demonize men. They also do not have a proper conception of the biblical concept of sin. MGTOWs demonize women. They do not have a proper concept of sin. In reality, both are sinners whose only hope is Christ. Another Romans Road passage, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Third, the MGTOW movement fails to understand the beauty of the one man, one woman, one flesh union which lasts a lifetime. Man was not made to be alone. In fact, in Genesis 2, when man is made and he's alone, God sees that he's lonely and he needs a helper fit for him or meet for him. And God makes Eve and brings Eve. And in Genesis 2:24, Adam says, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." And it goes on to say there that they are a one flesh union. Jesus can say what God has brought together, let no man put asunder. So men and women were made to complete one another. Fourth problem of MGTOW, it depersonalizes and makes an idol of sexuality by disparaging in particular the institution of marriage and urging simply the satisfaction of sexual desires in non-biblical ways. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 6:18, wrote to the believers at Corinth, and in 1 Corinthians 6:18, he said in particular, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." And also in the book of Hebrews, which we'll get to in our Hebrews study eventually, but in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, the author of Hebrews, perhaps the Apostle Paul, wrote, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." But the first part of that, exactly, explicitly contrary to the MGTOW ideal, is that marriage is honorable in all. Fifth problem with MGTOW from a biblical Christian perspective, it rejects man's basic need for community and the places where God has ordained that we find it. We find it in the family, in the church, and in society. And we need relationships in all three of those spheres in order to be healthy, full, and fulfilled human beings. I want to go back to the passage I read right at the beginning, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, which may be one of the greatest statements about man's need for community and the advantages of community. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I think as Christians, we sort of take for granted that we need community. But I think what we're finding in an ever-increasingly paganized world is that some of these basic things we have to communicate to people. You need people. You need friendships. It's unhealthy. It's spiritually toxic for you to attempt to go your own way. Instead, find the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And then sixth and finally, the MGTOW movement elevates selfishness and self-centeredness. Christianity, on the other hand, calls on men and women to die to themselves and to live for Christ. And one of the greatest passages in which Jesus calls for discipleship is found in Luke 9, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." May God bless His Word to our hearing in our hearts. Well, I want to pause here, having given you an overview of MGTOW and some sympathies toward it, and then also these challenges to it. And let me turn it over to you. What questions or comments do you